Talk Radio.
Hi guys, thanks for joining me. Welcome to Right from the Left Coast. My name is Linda and I'm your host today. And this show is brought to us by www.patriotfamilies.com. That's families with a YS. Yeah, I know we have a really weird one, and I have a special guest coming on and I want to bring him up too. Hello, you're on the air.
Hi, how are you today?
Fine. I hope everyone can hear you. I can hear you. Go ahead.
Okay, great. Well, what I wanted to talk about today was there's an important event happening in the fight against Agenda 21, and your listeners can really help cause a really needed change. And basically, this is it. For those who don't know what Agenda 21 is, we maybe can go into that later, but I first want to get the action together. The Republican National Committee has proposed that stopping and exposing Agenda 21 be put into the Republican platform. The decision on what goes actually into the platform is this weekend. So we have from now till this weekend to call our senators, to call the Republican National Committee, to call your congressman, to call Mitt Romney's campaign, and all of them, and say specifically, we wish that the Expose Agenda 21 proposal from the RNC be put in the Republican Party platform for this election.
Right.
That's it. That action, if it happened from thousands of people, will be a great help. The proposition already has more sponsors than any other proposal for inclusion in the party platform. So now all we need is some good grassroots pressure to push
right.
it.
Well, I did do that, I think, when I found out, I believe it was Monday, and then the next morning on Tuesday, I did send ISA a message that I wanted him to support this platform for the Republican Party.
That's just wonderful. Thank you so much.
And I did send out an email blast to the people that are in this chat room that are on that site, which is patriotfamilies.com. And so that's about 350 people, so hopefully people will send, and I explained to them, send it to your Republican senators, Republican congresspeople, anyone else you want to send it to. So,
right, you can send it. Even more effective is if you call.
Okay.
And
so,
you don't have to feel strange. Just call the local office. You don't have to call all
right.
the way back to Washington, D.C., but make sure that you get hold of the chief of staff or the legislative assistant, because those are the people in a congressperson's staff that tell him about policy.
Okay, and I heard that some,
order.
I think it was an appeals court that reined in the EPA on the coal-fired plants regulations. I don't know if that's true. I didn't get the whole story in front of me.
Yeah, I haven't checked it, so I can't comment yet.
Okay. But what we wanted to talk about, I know you wanted to talk about getting everybody to get on board and call your congresspeople and say, yes, we want that as one of the planks.
It's absolutely important that people do that. If they understand the problem with Agenda 21, then we really, really need them to do this now. Here's basically the problem. I mean, we in Vista actually got our city out of ICLEI.
Right.
Which is a United Nations Association of Cities that was set up to implement the plan called Agenda 21. And the problem is that they basically did their work very well. So most of the people that they've been feeding their picked solutions to and doing the data research for had no idea that these people have a large social engineering agenda.
Right.
So when
you
go and talk to them and say, I'm really against you using Agenda 21 in ICLEI, they look at you and go, and what planet did you drop in from?
Exactly.
It has nothing to do with us. Which, of course, is not true. In San Diego, for example, even though my planning association said, we don't know what you're talking about, the three cities around us all answered the same thing. Here's
yes.
the bottom line. All the plans that they have to build
sure.
Have to meet the regional plan. And the regional plan was paid for by the San Diego Foundation, who paid several million to ICLEI to create a study using
okay.
Agenda 21 precepts that it provided the data that the entire regional plan was made on. So as a result, every local plan is now all completely synced with this Agenda 21 plan, although nobody here in town knows that the data that they made their decisions on, that the planners
uh-huh.
used, that the region provided, had all been provided by Agenda 21 sources.
Right. So, basically, I think my question was, in California for many years, as you know, because you've been here a long time as well, the high cost of housing in comparison to other states, and I've never understood how that happened. Maybe briefly you could kind of run it down.
Right. Well, actually, the San Diego and California in general, but San Diego specifically, we were the first city in America to have a light rail system.
Right.
And as part of building a light rail transportation system, which was going to save us from car exhaust, because once we have this light rail system, everyone will leave their car at home, will walk 3 or 4 miles to the train station, spend 5 or 6 hours on the train getting to and back from work, and we'll all be environmentally and green successes. The problem is that no one does that, and they
right.
understand that. So what they did is they changed the zoning laws. That's
right.
why when you start to delve into how your town and your city are dealing with carbon emissions, you will suddenly discover that there are at least a third of the things they are doing are in the domain called land use. And
okay.
what that means is there are a set of laws that determine if you wanted to change your house, like if I wanted to build an extra room, if I wanted to build a wall on one side or whatever, I would have to check that with the building department, which would
mm-hmm.
then check with the planning department to find out if that was allowable in our zone. So what San Diego did in 1971 through 1981
right.
is they set a set of land use rules that you couldn't build houses except along the rail line. Well, San Diego County is huge, but they
right.
reduced it essentially to 1 mile wide by 20 miles long.
Oh my
they
gosh.
Created the each side of the 5 freeway housing boomlet. So
got
lots
it.
Of houses and businesses got built along there. Unfortunately, the population that moved here didn't
uh-huh.
want to live there. They either wanted to live right on the beach or they wanted to live in one of the mountainous areas with woods around it, et cetera,
sure.
et cetera. But they couldn't. Because no developer was given an okay through the zoning laws to build.
Right.
The result is we created a synthetic or regulatory-based shortage. And as everyone knows, if three people want two things and you know they start bidding with each other, the price goes up.
Right. So
it's
this is
actually calculated that in 2006, at the height of you know home values in California.
Sure.
That the average house in San Diego, $351,000 of the price, was created by this shortage caused by zoning laws. In other words, an environmental law and regulation
mm-hmm.
cost San Diegans $351,000 a house more than they should have paid.
Exactly. And
furthermore, here I got a really good one. I love
okay.
this because all these laws are supposed to stop carbon, right? Well, you can imagine how useful in reducing carbon standing dead still on a freeway is, right, in freeway gridlock.
Sure.
Because then you're getting infinite, you know, carbon
amount.
Per mile because you're not moving.
And it's spewing out, correct.
That's right. Well, the Department of Energy and the Department of Transportation actually have calculated how much gasoline they think is wasted by the fact that when they did this zoning thing, not building houses,
right,
they didn't want people just buying cars and driving down the freeway. So they refused as well to expand the freeway. So everybody moved into these places, then got on the freeway and stood dead still for hours and hours and hours. And
right,
that raised the amount of gasoline we waste on our local freeway from about 5.5 million gallons, ready?
Okay.
66.9 million gallons last year.
Good heavens. Oh,
and that's
Lord,
according to Barack Obama's own government. You got to get all the numbers that I'm using. None of them are from what an environmentalist would call a questionable source. I'm using their sources. Because one of the things that we've discovered is these guys have been told very selective slices of the data and then told that everybody that disagrees with them are citing other people, people with strange data, non-acceptable. Well, so we now only use what they say is acceptable. And guess what? Their conclusions come out just as bad.
Wow. So now what's happening with my city council and the city planning in Oceanside is they want to put roundabouts all through the Coast Highway in Oceanside, and God knows what else they want to do, but I know that they're also talking about these high-rises, high-density, sustainable, you know, along the rail lines corridors. And what I'm trying to, I guess, get a better picture of, because I'm trying to get as much information, how do I approach these people?
Thing you have to realize is that even the regional plan says that there's an idea they call complete streets.
Right.
And
oh, yeah, they want those.
Complete streets includes a strategy called traffic calming. That means slowing you and I in our four-wheel vehicles down because we're addicted speeders.
Right.
We don't look at the trees as we drive by enough. We haven't viewed the clouds, opened our sunroofs, and gotten a tan while driving. So what they want to do is get everybody that drives 35 miles an hour down to 25. In very many cities of the United States, they've actually gotten rid of the 35-mile-an-hour speed limit.
Oh, my
gosh. And made the overall speed limit everywhere 20 miles an hour. Now, it all sounds great. I mean, listen, when they sell it, they tell you how they're selling it. You almost want to break into tears of joy and empathy. We're going to have complete streets. No one is going to be left out. Are you there in your motorized wheelchair? You're going to be able to zoom out of your front door, zoom straight into the street, which is now safe from cars hitting you. You can have your little American flag on your whip antenna behind it as you zip your half mile to the grocery store. What, you say your grocery store is 8 miles away? Well, zip 8 miles, but zip
it's
slowly.
Crazy.
And you are guaranteed that the bicyclists will be kept, the masses of bicyclists will be kept away from you and away from cars. Now, what you really got to get about the stupidity of all this is that when we went to the University of California at Riverside, which is one of the places that does freeway, you know, research, they
right.
know about how much carbon autos put out as a function of how fast they go. Well, I've been told all these years that we lowered the speed limits because during the last gasoline crisis, because lowering the speeds reduces gasoline consumption. Guess what? That may have been true in 1972, but it's no longer true. And I don't even know if it was true in 72, by the way. But it's certainly not true now. It turns out that if you increase a car, average car's speed from 55 miles an hour today to almost 80 miles an hour, you increase the amount of carbon it puts out almost not at all. Maybe 10 grams a mile. But here's the kicker. Slow it down from 35 miles an hour to 20 miles an hour, and you produce more new carbon than all the environmental laws we're passing are supposed to get rid of.
Yeah, I know. It's crazy.
But you ask them. I mean, we went up and asked them and said, well, where is the calculation for slowing all the cars down, the extra carbon they produce? And they all looked at us and there was this strange sound we'd never heard before from them, because they're usually talking. It was called silence.
Wow.
And then we said, but you must know what the environmental consequences are, because you're suggesting that 58% of all the people in San Diego County not use their cars by 2050.
Exactly, exactly. I have another caller. I'm hoping he has questions. Hello, Ron. Welcome to the show. Ron from Georgia. Ken from Vista.
Hey, Ken. How's it going?
It's going very well.
It's really good to hear more and more people getting on the bandwagon and pushing against this Agenda 21 nonsense. And you're absolutely right. They really sell it. And it really sounds wonderful and serene. If it weren't for the fact that we know what the agenda is behind it,
right? Well, the thing that it was very interesting, because we found the entire smoking gun all the way back to how our town got involved. In fact, we actually have films of five different cities in California where the planning officials are actually lying to the city government and to the planning commission about their connections back to ICLEI and Agenda 21.
Of course
but
they are.
Let's say that you're in a town that doesn't have even any of that. Everybody's innocent, okay?
Yeah,
the
right.
The most interesting thing about what's going on is that if it's supposed to be saving our environment, when we use the environmental movement's own calculation methods to determine if there would be new emissions from the solution, you suddenly realize that they're not about cutting carbon at all.
No.
Well, of course not. I sat in a presentation many years ago, and the gentleman laid out with perfect clarity exactly how government works. And, he had a small chart, and he just wrote four lines on there, A, B, C, and D. A being the first time that people begin to notice that something is different. B being the line where people really begin to notice, hey, this is a problem.
Yep.
And C being the point in time when they begin demanding that government do something about it. After all, we pay all these taxes. That's what they should do. And by the time that the government actually gets off their butt to begin doing something and form a committee, we're at the D line.
Right.
And so they'll institute this new program, and sure enough, it begins to have effect. And he used the air quality in California as an example, and people begin to see the air quality improving, and we get back to the C line, and the bureaucrats recognize, holy crap, it's really working. We got to slow down or we'll be out of a job soon.
Oh, right.
And so government doesn't resolve problems, it regulates them.
Oh, absolutely. And regulation is, of course, legislation without a vote.
Correct.
Yeah. And we have Bill from Indiana. Welcome, Bill.
Howdy, guys.
Hi there.
Here we're seeing the effect of Agenda 21 on our food, because we're being told in our county they want to limit the size of meat-producing farms.
Sure.
And limit the number of them. Now, I know in California they're going after the slaughterhouses. Here, around here, and close to me and stuff, they're going after, they're blaming hogs, going after swine flu and wanting to get rid of all the hogs. They're wanting to come in and kill all the crops. I'll be honest with you, the drought didn't do the damage in southern Indiana that the government is claiming it did. I've been driving all over. We're going to have a bumper bean crop. Yeah, our corn wasn't as good as normal, but it's not gone. And if you know anything about farming,
I am
when you
a
run
farmer.
Low on hay, yeah, well, then when you run low on hay, you would go out in the field and you'd cut your corn stalks and stuff and use that.
Well, I'm a stone fruit grower, so I have orchards, but guess what? When they turned off the water for the salmon in the northern part of the California?
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, everybody heard about the Central Valley, but what most people didn't know is it shut off all the water to Los Angeles and San Diego as well. So San Diego County used to be the number four agricultural income county in the U.S. after Fresno County, Northern California. We're now 26th and going down. We've lost $5 billion of revenue per year.
Well, the whole agenda is to make us more interdependent on imported goods.
That's right. Yeah, that's absolutely right.
And truthfully, he is right.
Yeah.
And it also gives control to the government over our food, our water, and whatever.
Do you guys know that the concept of sufficiency in the eco-justice movement? Let me define it for everybody. It's a very simple idea. It was put up by one of the founders of the eco-justice movement. And what he said is that sufficiency means that you consume no more than a set minimum and no more than a set maximum in an ordered system of sharing where one person's consumption does not reduce the amount of another person's consumption. That means while you're standing in line at McDonald's, remember the old thing when your mom would say if you weren't eating your food, and there are starving people in India, you know? Well, now you actually have to send it to them.
Yes.
Except that they're going to do it at the farm, not at the McDonald's.
And that plays right into the thing that came out today that says Americans waste 40% of their food.
That's right. Well, here's one you really want to get. Do you guys buy avocados?
No.
Well, San Diego used to produce $5 billion a year of avocados. This year, we don't have an avocado industry because the water turnoff got rid of all agricultural water down here.
And
so you guys had
your water turned off when they flooded other areas, the farmland and other areas. It's just a constant attack on being able to produce food because they want to control everything.
Yep. Well, that's the essence of a regulator. By the way, do you know who thought that whole idea up?
No.
Teddy Roosevelt.
Oh, God.
Teddy Roosevelt had a minister of the interior, or secretary of the interior, who was the first professionally trained forester in American history. He went to France and got a degree in forest husbandry.
Yes.
And this guy named Pinchot, he came back and he came up with an idea. Because up to that time, private individuals were the primary owners of resources like water and iron and whatever. And he said, well, we can't have that because we want to conserve. And Pinchot was so bad. His idea was we want to provide the greatest good for the greatest number of people for the longest period of time. That was his theory of conservation. But he had an opponent, probably the first real eco-activist our country had, a guy named John Muir. And John Muir believed that you had a God experience whenever you were in the wilderness. And not only should resources not be used by mankind, but the wilderness needed to be protected from mankind's intrusion so that the spirit of nature would be preserved. He actually used to go on railroad trains back and forth across the United States, throwing little quarter-page, he actually used a typewriter with carbon, and he would tear the pages up so he had one-quarter-page messages and throw them out of the windows of the train as they went through town. Now, the problem with all that is that Pinchot came up with an idea. Well, the only way we're going to get these resources out of private hands is to give the government a means to take over private ownership of property. So he invented eminent domain.
Oh, my God.
And eminent domain is how all of our national parks got created, which is, by the way, how Obama has been slowly taking up I've forgotten what it is, but it's some titanic percentage of all land in the West, like 70%, is actually run by the Bureau of Land Management and is in federal ownership. It may be leased out, for cattle raising or stuff, but it's actually government land. Well, he's now annexed another chunk of land that used to be in private hands, and it's now permanently into wilderness using eminent domain. So every time you see eminent domain problems, you should remember that Theodore Roosevelt and Mr. Pinchot, after they didn't win the candidacy in the Republican Party for his second term, created the Progressive Party of the United States. That's where the term progressive comes from the guys who invented eminent domain. And by the way, that was the first form of regulation. We're taking resources
yep.
out of the hands of private owners and put them in public ownership so that the federal bureaucracy can determine who gets the benefits of the fact that we have water or who gets the benefits of the coal deposit, etc.
You're exactly right. And they're also stepping across here, like here in Indiana, they're going after the river bottoms, the land that's fertile land where people grow their crops and stuff. They're going after and taking those over.
Oh, yeah,
the
riparian side. They're
along the Wabash River. Yeah, you know, it's just trying to cut off the land so you can't use it to grow crops or whatever. They're using the animal lovers, and without them, you know, I mean, they're just not wise to what they're being used for. They're being used to try to make us all vegetarians, where we won't eat any meats, and that's why you're seeing the attacks on meats and stuff around the nation and the world.
It's also the fact that for those people that believe there's not enough food in the world, they see that a cow eats, 18 acres of grass in its lifetime, and that a human being directly fed on wheat would only use one or two. And they make that an argument that says that we, to produce more food for the third world, should eat less meat because we would then have more grain produced, right? And there'd be more acres of grain growth that we could export. That's kind of the way they make their
assumption. But that grain would not end up being used for food. It would end up being used for biofuel as they try to crush oil, gas, and coal, and the competition for their green energy that all their cronies are invested in.
That's absolutely right, sir. You know, the interesting thing about it is that, I don't know if you were aware of this, but the first year they opened up corn purchases for ethanol, they figure that in Latin America, 250,000 people died of starvation caused by the fact that the price of corn, which is the number one starch staple in the Central and South America, went up by, you know, like twice the price. And, you know, poor people in the backlands couldn't afford it and literally starved to death because we wanted to have ethanol gas.
Well, that's where we're at now. They're trying to scream about a food shortage, a corn shortage and stuff, and why the price is going up. But the truth is we're going from 11% being used from ethanol to 40% being used from ethanol, and our government refuses to stop it, to halt it, to get past this crisis.
Well, you know, the other thing about it is when I was a late teenager, I actually went over to India and worked on a development project. And one of the things that was absolutely astounding to me where I was is that they were growing just mountains of food. And I kept asking the government officials there, I said, why? I don't get it. You look like you grow enough food. And they said, well, yeah, that's actually true. Our problem is that we can't transport it to the people who and store it for the people who need to eat it before it rots.
Oh, my gosh. Wow.
So, in fact, what he was saying is if we could build our transportation network up so that the food from the fields got to structured storage areas and transported to the people who need to eat it before bugs, rats, insects, and fungi got it, then there was more than enough food being raised every year in India to feed everyone. And by the way, I built part of the internet in China and managed to go all across China. And they very clearly understood that. You know, the really funny thing is that you don't hear any longer about the Chinese having these huge famines, and the reason why is that's what they did. They built a rail network that's specifically designed to carry grain.
Wow. Amazing. Well, they're not going to be. I don't know what they want the light rail for. No one can grow anything.
Well, light rail is only useful for people.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, the light rail is to make us still get away from automobiles, and
oh, I know.
that way they can control who is, transporting across, and if you're even allowed to go anywhere, they can control where you go and you know how you get there and all this and that.
Well, if you have those thoughts, I have a really great one for you. Have you got a copy of the Obamacare bill as passed and amended?
Yes.
I don't think.
Okay, well, if you don't get one, and then look on page 1100. It might be 1106, but it's between 1100 and 1106. And in there it talks about them injecting a Class 3 medical device into your neck so that they would have your identity and your medical record, right?
God.
When you go and check out what Class 3 medical devices of that type have actually been approved, you suddenly discover that it's a device that's currently used for people who rip off their leg bracelets who are in, you know, home arrest. So if you keep breaking your, you know, home arrest foot bracelet, or then they inject one of these things under your skin because you literally have to cut it out. But every bridge on freeways has a sensor that's capable of sensing those things.
Good grief. So we also have Mike from Connecticut. Welcome, Mike, to the show.
Hey, yeah, I'm embarrassed to say that I'm from the unconstitutional state. You know,
but you know what? That just gives you a greater chance to be a patriot.
Yeah. Well,
yeah.
Speaking of which, Ken, right?
Yes, sir.
Yes.
Yep. Ken, Ron, and Linda, how are y'all doing? You know, I appreciate the history lesson, and I'm not being facetious here. I know you spent a lot of time on it, Ken. You know, I dig that. But here's the bottom line. What are we going to do about it? Republicans and Democrats, they're not listening to us. They don't care what we have to say. What is our end game? Seriously. Because we could talk about this all night long. But what are we going to do about it?
Well, I actually agree with you. Thanks so much for asking that and making that statement. In actual fact, that's where I started out the conversation at. We actually got ourselves out of ICLEI. We actually are in the process now of getting the plans that have been approved that they built. We're now legally attacking them, and we're doing an education work with the people in our town because mm-hmm. we've calculated out per citizen what this stuff is currently actually costing them. And as we do that, and people, I mean, they're stupefied because they think, you know, well, it's a government cost, but it's not necessarily hurting me specially. And we turn around and go, no. It doesn't take a genius to realize that the reason there are no home delivery pizza stores in my town is they've passed a set of roadway laws that make it impossible to get anywhere in a half hour, much less deliver a pizza.
Well, Ken, that's where, you know, that's what's upsetting me the most is what you just said. Oh, it's not affecting me, so, you know, I don't care. America's apathy is seriously under my skin. Seriously, at the point where, you know, I just want to start smacking people in the head. Oh, it doesn't touch me, so, you know, what do
it
I
will.
Care? Well, it's just killing you. Well, that's the point.
Well, the thing is that let me give you a website. It's called OUR-republic.org. And it's the site that we use to train conservative activists. And we're just putting a whole set of tools this week on it, which help you calculate out, based on the general plans in your local area, what these costs are to citizens. It turns out that once you know what that is and you know and can explain how it was calculated and why it's true, people become not only stop being apathetic, but they first check you out. After they discover that, you know, you're checkable, then they start looking at their elected officials and they start showing up at our Tea Party meetings, et cetera, et cetera.
Hmm.
And they show up at the city council and planning meetings as
That's
well.
That's right, in droves. We were real surprised. I mean, it got to the point where after we got our town out, the town next to us, the next biggest town is called Escondido,
mm-hmm.
and they have now got an initiative on the November ballot to literally negate the general plan and
wow.
to pull their city out of the regional plan.
Well, that's good. That's a
good
thing.
That's very good because that sets legal precedent.
It does.
That this regulatory game, especially, I love the excuse they use, we have allowed every stakeholder input into the plan. Yeah, every stakeholder except Me? What am I, chopped liver?
Exactly.
And then I realized that I'm the problem, just as President Obama said. I'm old, I'm white, and I'm hanging
right.
on to my Bible and my gun.
Exactly.
Well, you know,
we don't have a stakeholder group. Old, white, idiot, assholes. With
go ahead.
Power.
You know, I've been doing this for a while. And when I first started fighting against Agenda 21 in 2005, trying to find anyone else that knew what you were talking about was a hard thing to do.
But today,
when you look around, there are so many people awake, and it keeps growing, and it keeps growing. More and more become awake. This little deal here where I was talking about the production of farmers growing meat and how much they're allowed to have this and that, that has awakened the public, and the public didn't understand, and they're trying to say, well, we should do this. And I brought up to the fact, read your county's comprehensive plan. They already planned this out long before they ever brought this up.
Yep.
Oh, sure.
And I've been getting calls, and I've been getting messages all day long from local people about it because they have went and checked the county comprehensive plan, and they see that I was right. It
yes,
has been in the works.
A shocker, and they come back and go, you know, I've been thinking you as this idiot fool all this time, and you're right.
Exactly. It's just a matter of getting the word out. Like people like Mike, who's probably, he's in Connecticut, and he's probably, you know, ready to tear his hair out. My
wife won't leave, Linda. I want to get the hell out of this blue state. This libtard area is just, you know, I came out of New York, which, you know, I thought was kind of, you know, obviously it's on the left, but I want to tell you something. Connecticut makes New York look like freaking, you know, thank you. Makes it look like Texas. I mean, this is just disgusting, and I just can't take it anymore.
Well,
just think, you're not on the left coast yet.
Yeah.
I think we're sitting out here
on the left coast with a whole bunch of people who wanted to kind of tilt leftwards and fall off of the United States.
Exactly.
Yeah, I don't know how Michael Savage takes it in San Francisco.
I don't either.
My God.
Here's what you do, Mike.
He probably loves walking down the street feeling all the vibes.
Well, yeah. If you look at all the people leaving California.
They'll be going back to Oklahoma and Texas, and God bless them. They should leave.
Hey, I've met in the last 2 weeks, I've met at least 5 people who moved here to Indiana from California.
Yep.
And they're loving it here.
Oh, yeah.
Well, speaking of California, I'd like to know why UCLA is giving illegal immigrants 2/3 off 18 credits in online courses. I think every UCLA legal student should walk the hell out. And that Denver Metro College is giving 58%.
It's all 9 campuses of the University of California do that.
Well, they ought to walk.
Well,
you know what,
it's a state law.
Time. Well, walk. Get out. It's not a state law to attend that college.
Oh, that's true.
I mean, walk out the door. I mean, now,
it's pretty nuts.
I've recently learned that Starbucks sends money to gay and lesbian groups. And, you know, I'm sure that funnels money for same-sex adoptions and whatnot. Now, I love their Java Mocha Frappuccino. Now, my wife doesn't believe me. I told her tonight. I'll never set foot in a Starbucks again. I'm done.
I don't have the law here in California that forces us to have lesbian, gay, bisexual, and transgender education.
Yes.
From kindergarten to 12th grade.
Yes.
And when we did the money search, where'd the money come from? It ended up at the Tide Foundation and George Soros.
Oh my God!
I'm not surprised. He's one of the chief contributors to Obama. Now, look, public school is a little bit harder, but when talking about, you know, colleges, there's more choices. It's time to get up and walk out.
Well, you know, Mike, if you wanna do some research on Agenda 21, just make sure that that I get your email or however I get it from the managing portion. You're probably already at Patriot Families. I'll send you everything I can on Agenda 21, and then I can also send the information that Ken has sent me on how to approach your city council.
We have about 2,000. Documents and articles that we're hooking up into our republic this week. We have all the charters where all this stuff came from. We have all the research material you'd ever want.
Okay. So A21 stuff's on ourrepublic.org?
That's it. It's OUR-republic.org.
Yes.
And by the way, to all of you guys, this week, if you write your congressman and ask them to put that proposal, to put it, Exposing Agenda 21 is the name of the proposed platform piece, and have the Republican Party put it in their platform, because it will end, and I mean it will end, the ability of local Republican officials to talk to you like you're crazy.
Uh-huh. From Mars. Exactly. And so it's actually, it's a proposal for the platform, and it, do you have a name or a number for it?
Yes, sir. Yes, ma'am. Hang on here. Getting old here. I have to put on my glasses to look at the name of the file. Okay. And it's right here.
Republican Party.
Yeah, the Republican Party platform, and the... actually.
Yeah, I've got a heads up to ISA, but I'll make a phone call. I'll definitely make a call.
Yeah, everywhere we can, but it's simply, if you go to the RNC, the Republican National Committee site.
Okay.
You can download, it's from the winter, it's on the legal section, and it's in the winter selection. You can actually get the text of the proposed platform section.
Okay, the winter
but
section?
If you just say in your message to your congressperson, please put Exposing Agenda 21 in the Republican platform. That will end at least one party's ability to say that this thing is not an issue.
Got it. Okay, that'll help.
And don't forget, every one of these elected officials has a page on Facebook. You can just get on there and overwhelm it on there, too. Just
darn
have
good
people
idea.
Just
that's a great
idea.
Put
it on there so that everybody else is seeing it.
There you go.
The whole thing, I was running into the thing when they tried to deny they even knew what Agenda 21 was.
Sure.
So I have copied the video. I wrote it all down. I carry it around my wallet. And I give it to people and say, look it up. And it's the day that Nancy Pelosi introduced Agenda 21, Sustainable Development, on the House floor. So anytime they tell you they don't know what you're talking about, they're liars. They know exactly what you're talking about.
Yep.
It's absolutely so, without any doubts whatsoever. Do you know what, I've forgotten which caller it was, but the one who was talking about the period of time it takes to get something reversed in laws.
Was that Ron?
Winston Churchill used to have a saying that it takes 80 years for a needed law to become law, and by the time it becomes law, it's no longer applicable.
That doesn't surprise me.
So, Ron, do you have complete streets in your area?
Actually, we have a nice little a little village set up in downtown Woodstock, and I got to tell you, it's been a tremendous flop. They built all these, and they're actually pretty cool looking buildings. You know, I mean, I give them credit. It looks like an old Main Street city that you would have found in the late 30s, early 40s.
Wow.
And you know, they've got a central square with all the restaurants, shops, and everything.
Mm-hmm.
And they built it when the housing boom was just thriving. And unfortunately for them, the whole damn thing flopped right as they got finished, and they haven't been able to sell anything there.
Yeah, it's a shame. Yeah, they get these grandiose ideas, and then they push it through, and it's none of this is going to work. And every place we have it, I know. Do you know, Ken, that in Encinitas, on Santa Fe, and also Leucadia, they've got roundabouts on both streets?
Yeah, I actually know that. In fact, their plan, that's why Oceanside is joining them. So there is one style along the beach.
Yeah, these are perpendicular to Coast Highway. But everybody who lives there, because unbeknownst to the citizens, they didn't know all this was going on, and they didn't go scream about it. They hate it. Everybody who lives there hates it. But now they're in, so it's kind of sad. I would imagine that there are folks in Encinitas and Carlsbad who understand this stuff, although I have not been to their city planning meetings yet. Our task force for Anti-Agenda 21 has kind of been scattered. They've been doing other things, worrying about, I think there's something in October or September at the convention center where all the greenies are going to be there, so they've been working on that. So to try to educate. Go ahead.
There's a new thing coming out, and I hope everybody gets it. If I get it, I'll send it to you.
Okay.
But it's talking about planetary warm-ups, right? And at the same time, we're warming up. Saturn's warming up, and other planets are warming up. And it just shows that there is a cycle that these progressive ideology does not want to admit to. Because it doesn't fit into their agenda. They're using the climate and supposedly carbon CO2 emissions as their basis for their reasoning for taking over everything.
Yeah, well, they sold it as the imminent extinction of mankind. And if we don't act very quickly, we're all dead. And, you know, that sounds pretty compelling if it's true. But the problem is, it wasn't true.
It sounds retarded.
You've had the tree ring thing show up that proves them a liar. You have the ice where they've taken ice core samples, and it proves they're liars. And then you go back and you look at two periods in time, just within the last couple of hundred years, there's been two periods of time when we've had global warm-ups, and then we went right into a global cool down afterwards. They don't want to admit it because the truth is there to prove that they're lying, and they just use the media as they have to begin with, to ignore the truth and spread the lie.
Well, that's absolutely true. You know, the reason we never signed the Kyoto Accord was 31,748 scientists wrote the President Bush at the time and said not to sign it because the data and the theory was flawed. And no one has bothered to mention that. And by the way, I was one of the signers. I'm a physicist. And, I quit doing that when I got old and fat to get thin again by digging in the dirt.
Well, you and I would get along. I majored in biophysics, and everything they try to say just goes totally against any true scientific principle there is.
Yep. No, that's absolutely true. And therein lies for all of us the issue, because until we actually get around to validating for people, you know, what the essential problems created by these lies cause.
Right.
We're never going to get rid of it. And the first thing you have to do is you have to get at least the political structure to take a stand about it. It's why we need people to talk, to call the Republican Party, to call their elected officials that are Republican and ask that it be put on the platform, because then, finally, we have a way of saying it is an issue.
Yes,
it is. A national political body has called it out as an issue. And that then allows us at least to go back to the Republican side of this game and say, you know, now what the hell? Would you please listen to us?
Right. I am
on the GOP 2012 Republican platform on their website, and it looks to me to be written in either Spanish or Latin.
Wait a second. Let's all go there and take a look at that for a second.
I'm not kidding. And I'm like, what the heck? Where do I find this at?
Well, that's the new America, Ron. It's Amerigo.
I know. I agree. I'm sitting here, I'm like, really? Dude, I don't speak this language.
The problem is you don't smoke enough hemp.
You know,
we
should all renounce our citizenship and just be illegals. We'll get more rights. We'll get more privileges.
True. You want to hear something really sad. You know, because I had the orchard, we used to hire workers from hireapatriot.com, which is basically Marines from Camp Pendleton that need a second job so they can just survive if they're married, because they need they can't get on base housing very easily. And the really astounding thing about all this is that
you know, this soldier who was there, he's trying to go back to school, and his wife needs to go back to school, but he's not out of the military yet, right? So he can take stuff that's military-oriented, but he can't take other stuff. And the local university campus, Cal State San Marcos, actually told him to re-sign up as a foreign student.
Oh, my gosh.
Because
what Obama did.
Are you ready for this? You're going to make you all crazy. A student gets $780-some-odd support for living, but if he was an immigrant, he could get $1,280.
Oh, my gosh.
If he was a non-legal immigrant. And that's because the law that they passed to make San Diego a sanctuary city.
Yes.
Is just crazy. By the way, if you go to the DNC, the I guess it's the report on the Huffington Post, but they're literally negotiating the platform today.
Oh, wow. The DNC?
Uh-huh.
Wow.
Well, look, that's how Obama got into Occidental College. He used his name, Barry Suratoro, who was born in Kenya, who lived in Indonesia, and he got a scholarship from the Fulbright Institute as a foreign student.
Yep, well, that's true. What's
right.
Even more astounding is most people don't know this. Do you know that the whole issue about his birth certificate, the first lawsuit that was filed, was not by anybody on the right? Did you know that?
Yeah, it was Leo Denfro, and he was a Hillary supporter.
Yeah,
it was in Pennsylvania. Was that in Pennsylvania?
Correct. No, it was actually Berg.
Yeah, exactly.
And Berg was the lawyer that the DNC sicked on Clarence Thomas and on Bork, Supreme Court candidates. And he actually sued Barack Obama for defrauding the DNC. Now, here's an interesting idea. So the Democratic Party sues itself for fielding a candidate that's not qualified. Well, what's their accountability to America? Oh, yeah, the political parties are supposed to vet whether the candidate they fielded is constitutionally able.
Right.
So that lawsuit's they're all auction free.
Oh, my gosh. Wow. Lovely.
Yeah, well, you know who owns the government, so why would we have anything above board? And this is why we need to get rid of both these parties. And I, for one, am not voting for either one of them. Just not going to do it.
Well, each person has to look at whether they vote or not in their own conscience.
Oh, no, I'm voting. I'm voting, Ken.
Oh, I see.
I'm just not voting Democrat or Republican. I'm not going to endorse the establishment any longer. I'm done.
Mike, I've got my own take on that because, quite honestly, and, you know, it's the Electoral College that elects the damn president.
Right, so my vote's gone anyway.
Right, all these people running out to participate in a presidential election, they're just buying into the theater, the whole damn thing to begin with.
Mm-hmm. No, I agree, but my founding fathers died. And put their lives on the line to give me the privilege to vote. I'm going to exercise that privilege, however. I'm going to do them the service of not voting for either corrupt party. I'm not going to do it.
But your senators and congressmen...
Oh, sorry, Liz. Go ahead.
That's okay. I was just going to say, we do directly elect our congresspeople and our senators
yes.
and our others, so that's something
correct.
You have to keep in mind.
And
well,
that's
all
really,
opposition.
That's
why I've said all along that the electing that one office of the president was not the important part. The important part is electing your Senate and taking over the Senate and keeping control over the House while getting rid of rhinos.
Exactly.
And,
why do you think they create this big theater around the damn presidential election? Okay,
yep.
And you know what the turnout is for congressmen and senators? It's like minuscule. That's where the vote needs to be. Not
well, that may well be,
fairy tale parade
I think
on television.
The goal
well, Ron,
for this next election of
Ron,
adding
I,
four Republican senators is an absolute necessity.
Well, why is that, though? I mean, we have a Republican-led House.
Because getting rid of Obamacare is not going to happen otherwise.
Okay.
Because well, okay. Well,
because stopping cap and trade is not going to happen otherwise.
Right.
The bottom
well,
line
the
is,
from their regulations,
the Supreme Court gave us a
happen.
Freebie. They turned Obamacare from a measure that required 60 senators to vote against it to remove it by declaring it a tax. It only takes 51.
But here's the thing.
But
here's
even
the thing.
That requires that we get four new Republican senators.
Okay, great. But here's the thing. We had Congress vote against the DREAM Act, but the president penned it in anyway. We have a president who has executive ordered after executive ordered, and we have a Republican-led House who has let him go unchallenged.
The House can't challenge him.
Well, you certainly can. At least you can show outrage. You
can
show outrage.
The legal precedence for executive orders is it requires that the legislation pass both chambers of the House and be signed by the president.
Right, but you can show outrage, at least.
Trump's executive order.
I understand that, but you can at least show outrage.
Yeah, you're showing outrage is absolutely
we haven't
nothing
seen
at
enough.
All.
But we haven't seen enough of it.
I mean,
but
you're outraged, I'm outraged. There, you know,
yes.
in the Tea Party group that I'm part of, there's something like 28 million paying members who were outraged. But unless this turns into a wave of votes that actually changes
right.
the political orientation of the people voting, it's all for nothing. We can all
right.
stand up and, you know, be completely justified and lose the entire fight.
Well, maybe
true.
We have
to
lose
mean
it
that I like
before
the Republican
we win
Party,
it.
Because
well,
I don't.
Well, Ken, maybe we need to lose it before we win it, because a friend of mine made a very astute statement, and I didn't even think of this.
If you lose it, it's
that,
over.
Is that both parties,
there ain't no coming back if you lose it.
Is that both parties send us to the left regardless. The Republicans just send us to the left at a slower pace.
Correct.
So we're being moved anyway.
That's
so,
true.
So to endorse either party is an endorsement to slavery anyway. To
no,
serf them
not.
Anyway.
Because,
well,
listen.
I don't see
this
it.
Is one of those things that's got an assumption in it. The assumption is that if you can just be outraged for enough elections, you'll finally get the thing turned around. If people's dark assumptions about the real nature of the power grab going on are true, then it's those people who should know that you don't have time to do two or three rounds. If you don't get it stopped right now, and we don't stop the spending right now, it doesn't matter what our political preferences are. We're going to basically become under the major influence of other countries. The game will be over.
If you let them go ahead and win now, the Democrat side, you can forget another election. There'll never be one.
Well, have you heard what the CBO said just now?
Yeah, we're going up a fiscal cliff.
Either way.
The CBO?
Either way.
CBO's so far behind.
If we cut spending, we get a 9-point whatever unemployment rate.
You can't cut enough. You can't cut enough and tax enough to pay this.
Right, but both parties are not talking about what needs to be talked about.
Why not?
Hey,
all they're talking
get
about.
Get Americans back to work and pull out of the goddamn Middle East.
All they've been talking about is how to save the status quo.
Well,
that's why you're seeing the Republicans right now touting Medicare, because they're trying to swoon the old folks down in Florida.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
I mean,
Ron, why are we going to endorse either party? For what end?
It hasn't got to do with endorsing either party.
Well, what do you do come
to
November?
What to do with is just plain old practical deal. If Obama gets another 4 years, you can guarantee that the gridlock we currently have will continue. Because
correct.
We're certainly not going to end up, you know, with nine more senators. We might end up with four. But the fact is that if Obama manages to survive and has the ability to, if we don't obtain enough power to overcome his vetoes,
right,
we're done for.
Absolutely.
The entire economic basis of the country is over. We can all go have arguments about what should have been done and how we could have done it purely or principled, but there won't be a game to play. We'll be off the game board.
Well, Ken, the truth is, the only thing that has kept us from being handed over to the UN already has been the fact that the public is armed. That is the only thing that
I agree. Bill, I agree with
it.
You 100%, and I want to make this statement because I want Ken to hear it, and I know, Mike, you may have heard me say this before, but I talked about this over a year ago, back when we had the midterm elections in November. I talked about this, and my worry was, at that time, Ron Paul was starting to look pretty damn strong. I said, you know, there is a plausible scenario whereby we end Obama's regime in 2012 and we install a conservative in the White House and they begin to make cuts, deeper austerity measures than what we're currently under, and the economy goes south and all the left and all the folks that are in the middle are going to be pointing at the conservatives and saying, see, we told you this doesn't work. It's all their fault. And it's going to push the country even further left than we already are with 165 million people on government handouts.
And the truth is, just at the current debt level today, if it didn't grow anymore, you could spend a dollar a second and it would take you 507 years to pay it.
Oh, I know. Listen,
it has to be addressed.
The current debt, if you spent
$1 million
a day since Jesus Christ was born, you would not equal our current debt.
Well, you know, why am I sorry, guys?
Most guys don't understand millions, billions, and trillions, but they understand the dollar. And if you tell them a dollar a second, they understand that.
Let Mike jump in here.
Why am I supposed to believe that the Romney and Ryan tandem are going to wave a magic wand and fix this? First of all, Ryan voted for TARP. He voted for the bank bailouts.
Right.
He supported legislation that would have allowed illegal immigrants to apply for temporary guest worker status. Then he pulls back on that. He's for increased spending in the Afghan war, which, first of all, picture yourself being a U.S. trooper in Afghanistan right now, working side by side an Afghan scumbag who at any minute can shoot you in the face, that we've seen happen a drastic increase in the last 2 weeks. Mitt Romney acted like a Democrat in Massachusetts. He raised more fees. He created more fees. He if you had a heartbeat, he feed you.
Yeah, I agree.
Why am I to believe and endorse
you?
He's not a conservative.
For you.
He's not a conservative. He's a status quo-er. Both of them are. Period.
If the amount of people who have died in Afghanistan upset you, then I got a question for you. How upset are you that there's way more than that have died here in our country on our soil at the hands of illegals? That 25 of us die every damn day here on our soil at the hands of illegals.
That proves my point, because Romney has flip-flopped on amnesty, and so has Paul Ryan. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, but that doesn't prove
your point.
He flip-flopped,
so why do I have faith in these people?
It just points out the fact that the relative damage to our own people through threats. The immigrant issue is so invisible because of the racial tone that it's been given, as opposed to a rule of law tone.
But
that
you have
the discussion doesn't even happen.
Yeah, but you have both parties.
Listen, I live in a town, by the
way,
that's 50% illegal immigrant.
Yes, he does.
And
so do
I. I get what what Mike is saying, and I agree that basically. What bothers me, what really disheartens me about this whole process, okay, is the fact that the American public, the majority, left or right, have gone so damn far left of center that Mitt Romney and Paul Ryan are the best they think they can do, and Ron Paul is nuts.
Well, Ron Paul is not nuts.
Let me ask you this, Ron.
But I disagree with
your
form
Paul right now.
Well, hold on. Let's back up. Let's back up, because Ken just said something, that I've heard repeated 1,000 times, and it gets my ire every time I hear someone say it. So I want to give you an opportunity to explain to me exactly what it is about Ron Paul's foreign policy that you disagree with.
Well, it's relatively simple.
Okay.
The structure of and use of American political power and military power in the world, in my view, in my opinion, and it's just my opinion, but I did spend 30 years in intelligence work all around the world.
Sure.
And I've got probably whoever said the thing about how would you like to be sitting next to somebody in a turban, well, I was probably wearing one. And the bottom line is that in my opinion, it is absolutely necessary that America use its projection of power. Either that or you have to actually use the power itself. And the problem is that every time in American political history that we have backed out of that, we have ended up having to fight a vastly larger conflict.
Well,
now Ron Paul is working with Mitt Romney on trying to bring something together.
Good. I heard that.
Well,
here's
my take on it. I understand what you're talking about as far as intelligence gathering is concerned, and I don't think I've heard Ron Paul indicate anything that in his policy where he would have us put at a disadvantage militarily around the world.
That may be the case, but the things I've heard him say, given the places I've been, I think they would. But that's what America's about. You and I get to disagree.
Sure.
And we get to have this conversation. I think the real problem is that we're at the point where this type of conversation is about to get cut off.
I think you're absolutely right. But where others may see a benefit, and I'm not saying there hasn't been benefit throughout the years in some of our intervention, it has created much of the animosity and the problems that we see overseas.
Amen.
We have been so involved in everyone else's business in the Middle East through Kermit Roosevelt and the ousting of Mossadegh, the installation of the Shah, and that was purely for our interest against the British interest in oil in Iran, which created the damn political vacuum that got the damn mullahs in there and the Ayatollah and created our little event in 79. And you know, we fought the Soviet Union. Everybody praised that communism is dead. I got news for them. It ain't dead. It never died. It's a game, and it's one we ought not to be involved in playing with our troops' lives over there. We ought to be right here at home, and we ought to let everybody know, you piss on an American, and we'll send everything we've got, and we will wipe your ass off the planet.
It'd be kind of hard to do when all the Muslims is here.
Well, their asses need to be gone, I'm here to tell you.
Go ahead, Mike.
But how can you do that actually still have the U.S. Constitution?
Yeah, folks, look. As far as our intervention goes 50 years ago, what worked in Europe ain't going to work in the Middle East. Remember, we came from Europe. Our values and what we believe in came from Europe. We're talking about the Middle East. Apples and bowling balls. Our values are different. Our core beliefs are different. They don't want our way of life, and that's the problem. It's been a 64-year circle jerk. And both
now let me ask you a question.
Want to extend
do you
it.
Think,
and
do you think once Islam has taken over all control of totally all of the Middle East that they won't come here next? Because if you do, you better rethink.
Well, you know,
that's to do is to go read the Sharia.
Well, we allow it to come here, though, because
right.
We capitulate. We capitulate. We vote in politicians that capitulate. Same thing in
political,
Europe.
We play political war for political ends,
right.
And it shows weakness to the Muslims. You know, Black Jack Pershing didn't have that problem. And, you know, the funny thing about those Muslims, okay, is millions of them gather every year about around a black rock in the middle of the desert, and they make a damn easy target. It's time we stop playing footsie and playing damn politics and start standing up like men. But unfortunately, the entire damn country in the United States of America has been emasculated because we've had decades of these damn pussyfoot political wars rather than going in and saying, look, we're the biggest chump on the block, and if you don't like it, tough.
Well, I mean, that's the whole thing. Ron, you just said it. We capitulate and we schmooze because you know why? There's money in it.
Exactly.
That's why.
Then you have to climb up to the global elite because that's who's managing the money and causing and financing all the wars.
But here's the thing. Every time that we vote Republican or Democrat, we are endorsing the global elitist. We're playing.
Hey, let me ask you this.
We have
to
stop.
What is wrong with taking over the Republican Party?
Well, no, that's not going to happen.
Because you're never going to get a third party is never going to win.
Well, you know why? Because with that attitude.
Well, hey,
you got the right and the left both against you. You can't win.
Linda? The more that we capitulate, have that attitude of surrender,
Does anybody here know when the last third party wiped out one of the two primary parties?
Oh, my God. That was
Abraham Lincoln.
Yep.
Wow.
The two major parties were the Whigs and the Democrats. And
you
the emergence
the
of the Republican Party
Republican.
And the success of Abraham Lincoln caused the end of the Whig Party and the creation of the Republican Party.
And the destruction of this country.
Exactly.
Well, I'm not sure about that, but...
Read The Real Lincoln by Thomas DiLorenzo. You name me a single solitary section of the Constitution that Lincoln didn't violate.
Yeah, Ron, I got to tell you, I learned a lot.
Yeah,
they removed one section of it
so he could get elected.
Let me ask you, how did West Virginia come into existence?
Yeah.
I have no idea.
West Virginia was created by executive order by Abraham Lincoln.
Wow.
He took an existing state and split it.
Why did he do that?
Because most of Virginia was with the Confederacy.
So
you know, he
created a half state so he could include them in the Union?
Exactly.
Did the people of West Virginia
I don't think they had a vote in it, sir.
Pardon me?
They didn't have a vote in it.
I understand, but I'm just asking, does anybody know if they actually were in support of that?
Well, I don't think it would matter if they were, would it?
Might have. I don't know.
Well, it's kind of like we don't have a vote either.
I mean, you know, if everybody in my county got together and decided we were going to make a new state within the state of Georgia, that's against the Constitution.
Well, guess what? If you're in the state of Texas, it's not.
Right.
Wow.
But
they joined the Union, they specifically negotiated the right to leave it.
Okay.
Well, maybe Texas ought to. I mean, someone has to take a stand here.
All I'm saying is that, you know, where it has been literally negotiated, people can. I mean, they literally can.
Well, they can anyway. They always could. It is a collection of state governments that came together to form the United States and the Union. And any one of them is certainly free to leave. That was part of the problem with the secession of the southern states. And Lincoln, there was no declaration by Congress. Through executive order, Lincoln said he was exercising the power of the executive to put down an insurrection, declared war on half of the damn Union, and placed the entire Union under martial law. He arrested Francis Scott Key's grandson for writing a disparaging newspaper article and held him in military detention for 2.5 years at Fort McHenry.
Wow.
These are things we never hear in the history books.
He hadn't prevailed in forcing the Union's retention. I'm just curious. How do you think things would have turned out?
I think we would have had reconciliation. I think that people would have recognized the error of their ways in trying to use the marketplace to force their ideas on the southern states. I think slavery would have died the eventual death that it was already in. If you think that the Civil War was fought over slavery, I think you're sadly mistaken.
No, it was just
it was about tariffs and money and power. And what Lincoln instituted was what Hamilton envisioned during the Constitutional Convention, which is British mercantilism, where you had a superior national government, and all the monies would flow into the central government, and they would use those monies to fund internal improvement projects within the states. How do you think many of the railroads got funded?
Well, I think a lot of the railroads got funded because the oligarchists that ran them quite correctly understood that the way that the laws that they had enacted in their behalf allowed them to become the owners of all the natural resources along their rights of way.
And they found a willing accomplice in Mr. Abraham Lincoln, who was a believer in what we would today call fascism.
Well,
unbelievable.
That's like I said, they had to remove part of the Constitution for him to even be president.
How's that?
Guys, we're in archives, and I'm going to thank Dan for joining us. And you guys can
There was an article that would have kept lawyers and lawyers and judges from being politicians. It got removed before Lincoln became president.
Wow.
That was the original 13th Amendment.
Yes.
I want you guys, I'm going to go in order because I want to thank Ken for coming on, because I know he's busy doing a lot of great things for our websites and stuff. And I'll go with Ken first. Is there any parting shots you'd like to say, Ken? And I want to thank you for joining us today.
Well, I certainly want to thank the gentleman that called in. I learned a lot, and I'm going to check the things that got said, because this is the only way we learn.
Yes.
And the second thing is that I still want to request that as many people as possible get hold of the Republican Party and get them to put that into the platform. It is immaterial whether you think they're going to win or not. Just having the fact that they've acknowledged it takes away one more of the barriers.
Yes.
And finally, thank you for inviting me, Linda.
Awesome. Thanks, Ken, so much. Say hi to Lynn.
All right, will do.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye. Go ahead, Mike.
Hey, yeah, I just want to, again, it was, it's always a pleasure being on this show and listening. Always learn something new. You know, again, it's just the frustration with this bogus two-party system. And, you know, I just think maybe, you know, maybe things need to get rougher.
They will.
Before
Don't
people,
worry.
Before people, well, maybe it needs to happen quicker than slower. Because I'm just extremely one frustrated independent. I really am.
Well, God bless you for calling in, and
Thank you.
See you guys on the next show that I'm hanging out with, probably tomorrow with Miss Rowland. And, well, God bless you, Mike, and Ron, you're
God
next.
God bless you both.
Almost there with you, Bill. Hang in there.
Yeah. You know, Linda, as always, great show. Really lively conversation and debate going on. I have all the respect in the world for Ken, and I understand where he's coming from.
Sure.
But at the same time, you know, I agree a whole lot with Mike. And I really, it just frosts me that this country has been so emasculated. The men in this country don't stand up and be men anymore.
For nothing.
You're looked at as too damn aggressive and something wrong with you. The FBI will show up at your damn house and arrest you and put you in a psych ward because you question your government. This is insanity.
Amen.
And I'm here to tell you guys, I don't believe that it makes two dams worth of difference at this point. Who gets elected? Who gets into office? We're going down. It's going down. It is mathematically impossible to reverse what has happened, and they damn well know it.
Sure. It's crazy. And Bill, did you have anything to say, sir?
I agree with Ron. I agree with Ron on that. There's just too much went on, got too far, and there's no way out. And mathematically, it does not add up. There's no way out. Ron's right.
It's terrifying.
But that doesn't mean we stop fighting it.
But
that's
exactly
right. We cannot stop fighting, because when you lay down, well, then they're just going to totally run roughshod over us.
Yeah.
And I just want to It was an awesome show. I love the conversation tonight. I got
that
deep respect for everyone that was on there. And thank you. And I just want to say, God bless America. We ain't done
Absolutely.
Yet.
And God
Amen.
Bless all you guys, Mike, Ron, Bill, everybody that's out there, whoever's going to check out the archives. And you guys have a great evening. God bless. And I will see you on the other side.
You guys, Linda, thank
Thanks.
You all.
Thanks, guys. Bye.
Bye-bye.